You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are ya? What is pride in my gaze? Thank you. My name is Liz. This is JD. He's special to the pod. How are you doing, JD?
I'm very high in my frame, so I adjusted it. I'm good. I want to get out in front of this immediately off the top. You guys may have heard some things. You know, rumors are swirling. I did run into Yuki Watari on the street on Sunday afternoon, and I startled her. And I want to formally apologize to Yuki. I am a fan of yours. And I did not make that clear immediately. I mean, I did the whole I love the sun. I'm a fan. But then I asked her so we just did like the very casual, how you doings. And then I was like, how's your recovery going? And then she was like, oh, you know me, like specifically. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I didn't really make it clear that I'm like actually a fan. And I didn't, she was wearing sun gear. I wasn't just like, oh, you're wearing sun gear. I would have recognized her in street clothes too. So Yuki, I am a fan. Sorry that I didn't make that clear enough. And it's nice to hear that your recovery is going well. And I hope you're feeling good and healthy. But yeah, obviously she wasn't traveling with the team. So Sunday afternoon, we passed each other on the street and I wanted to apologize. So if anyone knows Yuki, let her know. Liz, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't a fun game to rewatch.
Yeah.
Even with a special brownie.
Yeah. Probably could have used one of those myself.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Otherwise, I do want to recap soccer in Tampa Bay. Overall, they had the Premier League Mornings Live event at Armature Works. That's why I was in Tampa. And that was pretty solid. And I want to shout out the Tampa Bay Sun front office. We were doubters. We were haters. And the banner was astoundingly visible from Premier League's Morning Live, the Go Sun banner on the side of the school. Obviously, it's right across the river. And it was on TV a lot. It was on USA. Now, do people know what the Sun is? No. But just a little bit more image recognition. It's the same reason you put up billboards. Is anyone Googling it while they're driving when they see the billboard? No. But if they see it later in a different context, that recall builds up, you know, hopefully.
So what side of the school is it on?
Okay. Here, I have a photo on my... it's on the back. You're going to see like my background that I always hide. It's on the back of the most forward building. I think it might be an auditorium.
And okay.
So when you're looking, you can see this side of the school where the letters, like the school name is, you can see that from the highway, like on the side. I think the Sun banner is on the back of where the Bolts banner is, I believe.
Okay.
So this is a picture I took on Sunday from Premier League Mornings Live. That's how the banner looked. It's huge, by the way. And you can really clearly see it. So it was obviously intentional for that event. And I think they executed well on it. And it was extremely visible the whole time. And that was pretty cool. So I was a hater and a doubter at first. We couldn't see it from in the stadium. We don't need to see it from in the stadium. We're already there. promoting it to general Tampa Bay soccer fans. It was a good idea. And also, we were just talking about this pre-show at the event. I only went on Sunday because that's when Forest played, and I'm only really interested in Forest. But I did see pretty much equal Sun and Rowdies representation. There were more Rowdies kits. I think I only saw one Sun kit, but there were a lot of freebies around the bandanas, some hats. Obviously, I was with Ryan. He was wearing a Sun hat, so we also presented some representation ourselves. But yeah, it's obviously more Sun country than it is Rowdy's country, you know, specifically Armature Works in downtown Tampa. But it was nice to see that some people were like, hey, I'm going to go to a soccer event and I'm going to rep the Sun entirely, wear a whole kit. You know, you could go wearing an Arsenal kit or whatever, but people chose to rep the Sun. So shout out them. It was a fun event as well, just in general. And Forest won. So it couldn't have been better. And it wiped away all my Sun related sadness. So that's fine. So I'm doing great. But yeah, the banner was very visible. There were a few Sun people around. There wasn't any Sun anything at the event, but I will also note that I went to Premier League Mornings Live in Orlando a few years ago, and there was also no Orlando City at that event. There was no Rowdies like tent. There were people, I want to say there might have been street team people there for the Rowdies. There seemed to be some kind of organic Rowdies thing happening. I'm not sure, but the Sun did not have that representation. But it seems like Premier League Mornings Live doesn't necessarily want to engage with local soccer. So like I said, when we were in Orlando, the only Orlando City stuff I saw were people wearing kits and Pride stuff, presumably. So I think it's the same thing. I'm not going to fault them for not participating in it, because I don't think it's necessarily invited by NBC or USA or whoever runs them. So, but the banner was very visible and that was cool. So yeah, overall Sun and soccer in Tampa Bay is a thing that people are into. Let's get more of them out to our games. That would be cool. Otherwise the Sun have some news. They did us a big favor.
Yeah, for once. Before the podcast.
But maybe they dropped it before the podcast because they knew we already knew, because the first version of their game notes announced it before the Lexington game and we already knew. So we would have already talked about it on the podcast, but it's nice to get official confirmation that the Tampa Bay Sun has signed forward Shea Connors to a contract through the rest of this year, at least. I don't know the exact terms, but intending to play next season. I've seen a couple of people be like, it's a little late to bring in help. I'm like, it's not for this year. Okay. Although it'd be nice to see her play this year. You know, we're building something for next year. But I did some research on Shea, and to start, she is 30 years old, just like me for real. She was born in New Haven, Connecticut, and she went to St. John's University, and her first professional contract was at Knattspyrnufélag Reykjavíkur in Iceland in 2018. And then she played most of her, thank you, pro career in Australia. So most of the rest of what I'm going to talk about is based on her pro career in Australia, which wasn't exclusively A League, because I think they've changed the name of the league like three times since she was there. So I do want to note, though, on a personal level, I did listen to a podcast appearance she had and got some more details about like her personal life. She actually worked for the Brisbane Roar and Sydney FC as a social media coordinator while she played there. And personally, she is like a self-employed, currently like a self-employed content creator, model, kind of influencer. So this is something that she has been fostering throughout her career. And then also on the podcast I listened to, she like spoke about how she like helps other players like build their brands and like building like an identity and a brand outside of just being a player. So that's all personal like level, but it was very interesting to see that she worked for Brisbane and Sydney while she was at each of those respective teams. Is she our social media coordinator? I don't think so. Kind of a funny thought if she was. I don't think so, but yeah, she was putting in work, you know, off the ball. We see players pretty frequently in women's soccer still pursue maybe their like collegiate degree. They try to work in their field while playing. It sucks that they have to do that, although it's a good idea, of course. It's great preparation for, you know, life after the game. But also, we should definitely pay them enough as a whole, as an industry. They should be paid enough to just have to pursue the one career. But that's all personal. I can get into her footballing pedigree now. So from the release, they summed it up pretty well. So I was just going to read it word for word. Connors comes to Tampa Bay with championship pedigree after helping Sydney FC capture the 2024 A-League championship. After her debut campaign was interrupted by a foot injury, she made a dramatic return late in the season and delivered one of the club's biggest moments, scoring the match-winning goal in the grand final. Her resilience, finishing ability, and tendency to rise in key moments make her a significant addition to the Sun. So she played in Brisbane, then she went to Sydney. She had her best moment at Sydney, scoring the championship winning goal in the final. And she was released from her contract at Sydney. She didn't have the like starting role locked up down there. And so they released her the year after they won the championship. And she played as a replacement player for the Wave, but she only played in one game. And then she was just off a contract and she's been a free agent ever since. That's when the Sun identified her and picked her up. I'm not sure how long she's been in our camp or been around, but sometime within the last 6 months or so. Fifi, I'm right here. You don't have to go in there.
Is it Felix?
Yes. But on the pitch, she is primarily a left winger. And this is something that I have identified a few times. I've said in shows that our left wing is weak. We have a few players who have been over there in multiple situations, but we don't have a dedicated left winger like we do with Jordan Zaid coming up the right, for example, somebody who sticks to the touchline and brings the ball up the field and can get crosses in. That is where Shea can thrive. So I'm very excited of the prospect of her filling that role. And she's also able to cut inside if needed. And one thing that I noticed while watching a few highlights of hers is that she seems to be able to get some great power on the ball with both of her feet. She's primarily left-footed, obviously being a left winger, but she really can get some great finesse. I mean, some of her goals highlights that I saw are her just like curving the ball around the keeper, and she can do it with the left and the right. So I like to see that. I mean, she seems like a really quality player, and she's bringing a lot more experience than a lot of the Suns' more recent signings that are fresh out of college, which have their own, youth and ability to mold them into the player we want them to be. But having a player with experience and somebody who on the ball has been in so many situations before and understands, you know, how to get a result out of it, it is an exciting prospect. And she's just very quick and strong on the ball. I saw her muscle off a few defenders and get around a few defenders and, get open to goal and get the shot off. So I liked everything that I saw. Obviously I watched a highlight reel, so everything looked good. You know, I'm not sure what her flaws may be, but I will take anything that adds to the skill of the Tampa Bay Sun. And as we're building into next year, thinking about, okay, a position that I feel like is sufficiently locked in, if she's going to be on the left wing, I feel pretty confident with that to start. You know, if she starts playing in games and we see anything different, then so be it. We'll address that at the time. But I see this as an exciting prospect. I think it's a good find. It seems like she had a couple injuries in the 2020s overall that may have kept her from getting enough minutes to be noticed. I don't think she is not a good quality player, and that's why she wasn't signed to a team. I think she just was not getting noticed, and she was coming off a couple injuries. But now that she's recovered, it looks like she's ready to play. I don't think she has an active injury, and I'd love to see her play for us. So good signing, permanent signing. Excited to see her up the left flank. And I'm not sure she'll make an appearance. I don't know how soon she'll make an appearance, but why not? We are not a great team. Why not toss her on and give her some minutes and get to know, the players that we're professionally, playing with, get to know the players that she may be playing with next year. So cool signing. Welcome, Shea. We're happy to have you. I saw somebody call her Shea Butter in a YouTube comment. If that's your nickname, that's cool. If not, I apologize that I said it on the pod, but definitely happy to have you. So welcome, Shea. Liz,
she overlapped with Charlotte McLean at Sydney FC for a couple of years. Yeah,
nice. Maybe
that's kind of like a cool connection.
Maybe that's why we know her.
Yeah,
no way. I noticed her most recent, and I think it's like her channel that she uploaded the highlights on, but I noticed her most recent highlight video was like 6 months ago, and I was like, this might have got her the job at the Sun. But yeah, like I said, everything that I saw and everything that she talked about too, she in that podcast, just to expand a little bit on it, she talked about advocating for women's sports as well and women's football. I mean, she was contextually, it was an Australian podcast. She was talking about it in the context of doing social media in Australia. But, I mean, we have very similar landscapes where the NWSL is more established than the A-League women, but the Super League, I would say, is in a similar position where, some of our teams are playing. I mean, even us, we're playing in front of just 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people week in and week out. And it's like, how do you grow from that to the highest level?
Felix has a lot of thoughts about this.
I don't hear him. I can hear that something is happening, but your reactions are telling me it's very loud. So that is concerning me. Fifi, come here. You can just be over here. It's fine. They like when you're on the show. He is here now. He's not like visible, but
of course not. No, he's because he's a void with eyes. He's always invisible.
Come here. No, he's a what do they call it? Calico.
Oh, I'm getting Felix and Mona mixed up. I'm sorry.
No, He's this color.
Yeah.
You can come sit in my lap, bro. Right here. Liz, while I wrangle my cat, unfortunately, we have to do it. We have to talk about the Lexington game just a little bit. Just to let our listeners know that it happened. You know, they might not know.
I don't wanna.
Well, let me preface this by saying it's the worst game statistically in club history.
Yep.
And we aren't going to talk about it a lot because we're so deep into the season that we really have nothing to learn. The Sun are bad. We've come up with a few ideas of how to possibly maybe improve them. We've tried a lot of ideas. Not a lot of it's worked. I think I'm at the point where I want some roster turnover before I think anything will work. So all that being said, we're going to talk about the game, but we don't really have any takeaways or any valuable insight. We just went out there and we looked real bad. And Lexington looked good. They're a good team. So,
yeah. All right. So we played Lexington. We lost 4-0. Cat Barry got a hat trick against us. Yeah. All right. So we had Nocello, Weber, and Picorni up top. We had Listro, Gaillard, and Peyton Parsons making her first start. And then our back line was Haugen, Henny, Bissett, Chisholm with Wegner in goal. And on the bench, we had Beardsley, Sienna Bryan, Helferty, Sabrina McNeil, Maddie Parsons, Provo, and Farrah Walters making her team debut as well.
Good.
We're not going to go super in depth, but there were a lot of things that I noticed. And like right off the bat, you can immediately see Nocello and Picorni on the lineup, opposite sides, on the field, same side.
Do they know that they're not supposed to play the same position?
I couldn't tell you, because everybody was so overloaded on the left side. And then Nocello starting to, 5 minutes in, dropping so far back. Peyton Parsons, literally in our last third. Why? What was our formation?
We let Nocello be too free. Rainer in.
Speaking of Nocello.
Oh, no.
Yeah. 13th minute. We had a PK.
This she drew it. Good. Yeah, she drew it.
She did. She got it. She drew a PK. She took her PK and did some little floofy fucking run-up thing. I'm going to use our one for that.
Yeah, fair.
And doesn't sky it. Doesn't get blocked. Misses.
She had the, I think the keeper like stepped at least a little bit the wrong way too.
Mm-hmm.
Like she would have.
Yep.
Not had.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So.
I don't know, like, in my notes I have, we are in last place. This is not the time to be cute. I just hate stutter step run-ups in general. I feel like it's just, it's you're cheapening a PK. Just like, just
boot,
kick the damn ball.
Yeah, boot the freaking ball.
Yeah.
Tactfully avoiding using our second one. Put your laces through it.
And honestly, I feel like that really sets the tone. One for our entire season and two for the rest of this match.
Yeah. I mean, this was an early opportunity to go up and I was very excited at the prospect. I mean, a PK, what are the conversion rates on them? Like 70, 80%? Like, I don't know those numbers actually, but like, it feels like it should be probably that high. And, so when you get awarded a PK, you're like, oh, we probably have a goal, you know, provided something insane doesn't happen. And I was like really excited, not like, again, we're not making the playoffs, but just if we got a good win over Lexington away, they're a great team, would have been really morale boosting.
We got a draw.
If we got a draw, if we scored a goal at all, would have been great.
Yeah.
So very frustrating to have that miss, like the timing as well. Like we had the opportunity to go into the lead. It wasn't to come back into it. And so that's like, you got to bury it. And she, you know, definitely felt like she didn't miss hit it. So she definitely didn't feel like she was like going to miss. She didn't, wasn't like trying anything risky. She was confident she was going to hit it. But like, I think you got to do like a more reliable strategy than a stutter step. Kind of, it was almost like also like a slow roller. Like the point is like to trick the keeper and then to like flex by having it go to the opposite corner. Like just kick it so hard they can't get to it. That's like, I don't know. And I hear pundit, like this is like a thing in other leagues too, and even like the highest level men's leagues that everybody hates when they do tricky PKs, but just put your boot through it. I don't understand. So yes, it was a rough time to do it. We weren't down yet. We had the opportunity to take the lead.
No, this was, I don't know if I said it, 13 minutes in.
Yeah, you did.
This could have set the tone for the whole game. This could have like really been like a nice pep in our step. Let's get a, we got a, I hate to say an easy goal, but it should have been an easy goal. It really should have.
I mean, and the fact that
Sydney, not to say nothing against Kat Asman. She's one of the top keepers in the league. I think just under Hope Heise, but you know, she's also, I think Lexington's let in the least amount of goals in the entire league. So she, you know, she's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's really like just the fact that Sydney was in the box to draw the foul originally, like we were showing some promise. We've had trouble like offensively, so like getting an offensive chance is a huge deal for us at where our team is at, and we have been able to absorb pressure pretty well. We have been kind of a leaky faucet in the last couple games, but ultimately our defensive unit has been better than our offensive unit at their job. We're letting in multiple goals, but we're also barely scoring at all. So us getting an offensive chance, then maybe we switch to, you know, a mindset where we try to manage the ball a little bit more in the middle of the park. We absorb the pressure well, like we can in moments against good teams. We absorbed a lot of pressure from Carolina. We only lost by one goal. I rate Carolina. I think they're a good team. Lexington is also a good team. Like there's a scenario where we don't get blown out and it all starts with scoring the PK. So yeah, it's more frustrating that it wasn't like already down multiple goals, had a chance to maybe get one. She missed, whatever. We lost anyways. It's like, no, like you said, it set the tone for the whole thing. So, Sag.
A couple of minutes later, Pokorny gets a yellow card because she's trying to see what size shirt Kat Barry is wearing.
Fantastic visual. Great description. Yeah.
Thank you. And see, just a lot of positioning things that I noticed. 19th minute. Nocello is now a left wing back. Since when? Why is that her position on the field? And then the first of four goals, 21st minute, Lexington scores. Mackenzie Weinert gets a goal on our throw-in. It goes to Peyton Parsons. It gets knocked to Kat Barry, and then number six gets it to Weinert. She nutmegs Bissett, runs around her, shoots. And Wegner has to come off her line because she can't trust her defenders.
We looked abysmal. I think this was the worst goal of the four. I like looked at Tia while we were watching and I was like, that was maybe the most shit goal I think we've ever given up. Like just straight up every single player involved, all the off the ball movement, the way Lexington worked it. Again, they're a good team. So they're doing a quality buildup working it. But I don't know.
I'm tied with this one and the one where Henny undercooks her pass and then we lose the ball because that was pretty shit.
Yeah. I mean, mistakes are mistakes, though. This is just like bad. Like, I don't even think there were really mistakes in this buildup from us, like other than just not being good enough.
Yeah.
And Lexington's a better team than us. And if they earn a goal or two, they deserve it for sure. But like, you just can't be looking that bad. And I know like, I've said this before. I know all these players are better than this too. Like that's what's so frustrating about the season is like, I do rate quite a few of our players and they've shown they've played for this team for a couple of years. Some of these players I've seen them do well, you know? So it is truly disappointing to see one go in like that, where we just get totally worked.
See, the rest of this is like not helpful. They get a couple more shots. We actually don't look, aside from that goal so far, we don't look terrible. I know it's obviously shit happens in the second half. But the first half, we don't look bad. We don't look great. We kind of look like a last place team playing a first place team, but not blown out yet.
Yeah.
Not much more happens in the first half, honestly. That's pretty much it. At this point, we've Lexington's got one goal, six shots, three on target, 49% of the ball, two corners, one offside. We've got seven shots, one is on target, 51% of the ball, two yellow cards. And then the shitstorm starts.
Yeah. Well, I thought these subs could be a good thing. They weren't. But I thought that, you know, I think we have had games where we made the halftime subs and we at least improved our conditions a little bit. So Helferty comes in for Gaillard and McNeil comes in for Pecorny. And I like McNeil a lot. Helferty we haven't seen a lot of, so I don't really have a solid opinion formed yet. But, you know, this is kind of a situation where players are disappearing. Gaillard is having trouble in the middle of the park, not getting a lot of the ball, not being progressive. So, and Pecorny, like you said, and Nacella were overlapping a lot. So why not just get some changes out there? McNeil obviously bringing in some defense, taking off an attacker and bringing on defense. I mean, you should let in less goals at that point, I would say, and that's not what happened. So in the history books, well, no one will write about it because it was so bad, but if they did, they would say that these were not effective subs. But, you know, if we kept those players out there, I'm not sure it would have been any better. So rough all around.
All right, 48th minute from a Lexington goal kick. They make two passes, one, two. Cadbury chips it, scores. There is no pressure in the midfield. Catches Bissett out, catches Wegner out, and we're at 2-0.
No communication out there.
No.
No system.
No. And you know that there's no communication and no system because not even 2 minutes later, and that's probably literally just from the restart from the last goal.
Yeah, which
the last goal was, sorry.
We start with the ball.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah, which we don't see the beginning part because they're showing a replay when we're actually restarting. So I don't know what happened there, but like it's Henny passes it with nowhere near enough power on it to actually get it to Helferty. And to her credit, Helferty hauls ass to get a touch on it so much so she knocks out the other player, who's also the Lexington player coming for it. It gets to Catberry. Bissett gets the ball and passes it across Catberry to Henny. I truly do not know what Bissett was thinking. She should have booted the ball, just shot it, just got it out. They get a corner, who gives a shit? Like I truly don't understand what was going through Bissett's head at this point.
Yeah.
64th minute. Lexington goal. Listro slips around the center circle. Dory doesn't challenge quick enough. Bissett doesn't clear it. Chisholm has a great sliding tackle, but because the field is a little bit wet, it started to mist. It started to rain a little bit. She misses. She falls. Wegner tries to come out and clear it because she cannot trust her defenders. And she slips over top of the ball. She did make a good faith challenge on it. She just, it's slippery. And Catberry scores it again for a nice little Hattie.
Yeah. Comedy of errors a little bit. I mean, like you said, slippery. But
yeah,
that's also something you have to account for. You're going to play on what? Wet grass every once in a while. So
65th minute, we make a sub, Maddie Parsons for Faith Weber. We bring in Farrah Walters for Dory. This is Farrah's pro debut and her debut with the Sun. Exciting.
one good thing happened. Yay.
When?
Welcome to the Tampa Bay Sun Legacy Numbers, Farrah Walters.
Yep. And then 67th minute, we bring in Sienna Bryan for Chisholm. As a thinker. A couple of good things happen. Like, Bissett tries to chip the keeper. I almost forgive her for earlier. Almost. Not much more happens. Peyton Parsons gets a shot off. Henny blocks a shot with her face. That probably could have been a fifth goal. And then that's the end.
Boo.
Lexington ends with 4 goals, 12 shots, 6 on target, 54% of the ball, 3 corners, and 1 offside. We had 10 shots, and then I don't know if we had, I think we did just have 1 on target for whatever reason at halftime, and I went back and I checked. At halftime, it says we have 1 on target, and at the final, it says we have 0 on target. So I don't know what happened there. We had 1 on target. 46% of the ball, 1 corner, 2 yellows.
It just like felt like we didn't have any on target, so they just gave us 0.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. This game sucked. I have no takeaways. The subs made things worse, but I'm not even convinced not making the subs would have been any better. I have nothing. I watched the game again. I did watch it twice to see if there was anything in there. Is really not. I think every single player on the Sun can do better than they did in that game. So, and they know, they're professional players. They have a coaching staff. They lost 4-0. So there's nothing that we can say on the show that is going to be new information to them personally. And for the listening audience, you know, the people who listen to get information about the Sun, there's nothing we can really give you. We're bad. That's the key takeaway. And I think this, like you said, like personifies the whole season. Is like, this might be our worst loss. There were chances, there were opportunities for us to turn things around. There was a point where we won 2 games in a row in the spring, and it looked like we might be pushing for playoffs and we might get good. And I think this is the opposite side of that, where it's like, oh no, this was all, we were always going to lose this game 4-0. And be out of the playoffs kind of no matter what else happened in the spring. Now we have this squad. We have signed 5 new players in the spring that haven't left again already. Weber's alone, so she'll be heading out. But like otherwise, we've signed some new players. So now we're at the point where we have like a hybrid of a squad where it's like, okay, we have this like failed squad from this season. We also have quite a few new additions that we're shuffling in or trying out or getting experience, and I think that's what we need to do at this end of the season. So there's really like these players, this is not the core of players that will be playing together going into next season. It's what we have left for the 6 games remaining. I don't remember exactly what it is, but so there's like, try your best, go out there, try your best, but we're gonna look bad. There's not really anything that can fix that. We're not gonna suddenly have a revolutionary system that turns us around. So
we are playing for pride, what little we have left.
To wrap up, put a bow on Lexington's game, because we do play them again before the end of the season. So
yay.
I guess what we could try is just, this has to be the worst that it is. That Lexington is the best team we will play for the rest of the season, like on the table, and we play them again for the sake of like our players' like feelings. We have to do better, and that's what I'm going to be looking for. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know who plays in that game. I don't know who's available, like, but we have to look better in that game for like the sake of our players. And the players are the ones out there. You know, ultimately it's a system failure, and that's on coach. And there were individual mistakes also. You know, maybe the system failure led to 1 or 2 of the goals, and the individual mistakes led to 1 or 2 of the goals. Ultimately, in a loss that bad, the responsibility is shared between like all the elements, except Sole is not responsible in any way. But like that is something that we can't like avoid, but also at least from my perspective, I don't see DSV being gone before the end of the season. Certainly there's a conversation to be had in the off season, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like we want to do that if we haven't done it by this point. And like I said, the roster turnover is that new players are coming in that are intending to play next season. And there's players on the roster now that probably know they're not going to be playing next season. So there's that kind of mix too, where it's like, how do we even figure out in all of that where quality is? But yeah, in terms of the players themselves, I'd just like to see a better performance the second time. I'd like to see us get them back. You know, if we lose by one goal in that second game in Lexington, but the performance was twice as good as it was on Saturday, then I would be satisfied with that. From a, you know, I'm a fan of the Sun. I'm a fan of all our players. I want them to feel success. We know we won't have trophy success this year, but you know, do it for yourself. Do it for your career and your pride and your individual ability that we know you guys have. So, yes, to wrap it up, Lexington clinched the playoffs with this win. We were relying on a Dallas result to see if we were eliminated from the playoffs, and they did not get that result. So we are still not eliminated. We still didn't hear no E. There's a chance. There's not a chance. We're pretty far out of it. There are a couple teams that do have a chance. So Dallas is on fourth, is in fourth with 32 points. And then DC and Spokane are chasing. They're on 29. So the three of those teams definitely are, one of those three will be the fourth place team, last in the playoffs. But Jacksonville, Lexington, and Carolina all clinched within the last 2 weeks. So I think it's interesting that the top three in the league have clinched playoffs before the bottom team, us, has been eliminated. That's tells me that the bottom of the league is a lot closer than I think it seems. I think there is like a feeling that we've fallen out kind of the bottom of the league. We've been bottom almost the whole time, except for when we got two wins in a row, we went to eighth for a week. And that's not necessarily the case. We are the worst of the bad teams, but there's two teams with us, Brooklyn and Fort Lauderdale, that are almost just as bad. We just have been the worst of those three. But the fact that we're not eliminated yet shows that the bottom kind of six teams like on the table are a lot closer together, and the top two just kind of ran away with it. So that's just kind of a perspective for you as you overlook all of it. The Sun was not super far off it this year. There is a world where maybe one signing could have made the difference this season, and we get a couple more wins out of draws, or we get a couple more draws out of the losses. It's cope because we're bad and we're last, and I'm not denying any of that, but the league got a lot better and the Sun didn't improve, but the league, not every team is Jacksonville. Jacksonville looks like a class of their own at the top of the league. Lexington is pretty close with them, and the rest of the league didn't improve that much. And I think we are not that far away from also joining the middle of the pack, you know, with the proper signings. And if a coaching change is needed, I'm not willing to share my opinion on that yet. You know, I think when we get closer to the end of the season, we can talk about that more seriously. But, you know, I don't think we're that far off from the league. It didn't move miles ahead of us. It's like a quarter mile. We can see it down there. We just can't reach it yet, you know. So it's kind of how the league is looking overall. And we have a game coming up at home. And at least the theme of the game should be a fun one. Liz, what are we doing on the 25th?
It's Pride Night. Ooh. And if you're made it this far, which thank you, by the way, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. But what you get is a sneak peek of the giveaway. Ooh. You get one of these snazzy hats. I think they're so cute. I'm a very happy camper.
They're very cute.
A mess.
Yes. It's getting hung up. I'm never wearing it outside, but it is very cute.
Oh, no, yeah. But I'm a fan. The Sun told me they brought in a new marketing person. They're like within 60 days. And this was like the first thing they thought of for Pride Night. So I'm already a fan of this person because this is adorable. And I like the nice big logo. There is a Hard Rock logo on the back, but who cares about that? Come to the match. Come get your rainbow cowboy hat.
Maybe it's cool that Hard Rock's, you know, sponsoring the Pride night. I think they're the presenting sponsor of the whole night. So, you know, I guess shout out them for putting some money where it is. You know, not every company is willing to do that. So, yeah, a couple other things are happening on Pride night. Obviously, the giveaway. I believe it's the first 1,000 for those hats. So if you are interested in that, or just all Sun giveaway stuff, which I always am, I believe you have to be in a little bit earlier. Although, I don't know, 1,000 is like half the attendance or more. So there is also a charity ticket link out there. So if you check Sun social media, if you're bringing any friends, if you're a season ticket holder, obviously you already have your ticket, but if you're bringing any friends or want to support, there is a ticket link where a portion goes to charity. And also we announced new jerseys that are Pride warm-up kits. Also on Sun social media, I don't have a picture handy right now. They're cool, kind of like pastel. I'm not going to say like tie-dye because tie-dye is like a specific
it's
technique.
Like
but they're, they're like a watercolor. That's a great, great word. Kind of like a pastel watercolor. And I like they have the pink triangle on there. They have community across the back of the neck, kind of where the Defend the Bay is on the Gasparilla jerseys, if you know those. And I think it's nice. I think it was designed for us in a similar way like the Gasparilla one was, but it does feel less Sun and more like just generic Pride color. I probably would have enjoyed something if, I mean, you can very easily get into tacky territory with Pride stuff.
It can be bad.
Yeah, I'm not saying like rainbow logos or anything like that, but maybe some variation. You know, of the crest built in there or just the insignia, the Ybor Sun smiling thing. But I'm not complaining. I think it's a nice jersey overall. I think it's one of the most wearable Pride jerseys I've seen. It just looks like a kind of a pastel watercolor shirt while still having, like I said, community is like in a rainbow text as well. So it has the markers of like genuine support for Pride. But it looks also cool. Like I could see, you know, being out and drinking at a bar and wearing that, casually. So it's a cool look. Pictures of that are on the Sun social media and they should be available online if you want one now. I don't know if it'll ship before the game at this point, but also they should be available at the game. It didn't sound like they were particularly limited, like they're going to sell out imminently. So it sounded like they were pretty available. And there's a lot of activations, as they call it. I'm doing air quotes for any audio only listeners. So it seems like there's going to be a scavenger hunt where you probably go around to the sponsor tents and get like a book stamped. There's a painting thing happening, I think, for kids. So there's just a few fun things that are going on. And it's Pride night. And I always enjoy Pride night. Last year, we had it on a Wednesday. Remember, we had Women's Empowerment Night on a Wednesday. We're always going to have something on a Wednesday. I'm sorry, women. It's Pride's year. Last year, Pride night had to be on a Wednesday and we were a little disappointed. So I'm happy it's on a Saturday. I hope to see all of you guys out there, of course, any of the listeners. But yeah, I hope we have done a good job. Like I said, the charity ticket link, promoting and getting people to come out. I mean, I'm asking every single game. I hope more and more people come out. We're bad, so give them deals. But
There's like a pre-march beforehand too.
Yes, I forgot to write that down, but they are doing a get together and Liz is going to pull up the where that is going to be, right, Liz?
While I talk like about Strand it. Hill or something like that.
And so then they're
Tampa locations.
They're marching to the game, but it is led by Soleil, so that's the goat. But she's a lizard, but it is like an hour or like 2 hours before the game. So it's not like a traditional supporters march where you like march into the stadium and boom, it's game time. It's basically just like you get to the stadium at doors and then you can do all the activations that they have inside the stadium with the sponsors.
Strand Hill Public from 4:30 to 5:30. Do I know where that is or what that is? Not at all. I live in St. Pete. Yeah. but where... That looks so far. Oh, there's two. That one's in Brandon. That's nuts.
I wouldn't put it past the Sun FO to make people walk from Brandon for a...
Oh, it looks like it's like a street or two over from Armature Works.
Yeah, I think they're going to Armature Works and then taking the water taxi. I think that's what it said. They weren't marching over the bridge.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I like figuring this out live and not planning. I mean, yeah, it seems like our team's figuring out playing games live and not planning. So maybe running the podcast in the same way is fine.
Oh yeah, paint by number mural fan runway show at halftime.
How do I get in that? I'm gonna have a new hat.
Okay. Yeah, and then the Pride Passport scavenger hunt. Yeah, good stuff. It looks like it'll be fun. Yes. Heatwave will be there. We will have fun colored smoke for kickoff or for right after the national anthem.
Yeah. Oh, and the national anthem is being performed by the team had it listed as an LGBTQ plus men's choir. I believe it's the Tampa Bay Gay Men's Choir. If it's not them, then I apologize, but I think it's going to be them because they're the most notable ones. So that's cool. I appreciate the theme night being like all parts of it. You know, it seems really thought out and well put together. So I'm going to be happy to head over there, check out a Pride jersey. I might grab one. Like I said, it looks good and gonna have a good old time screaming until I have no voice. That's kind of always though. It's no different for Pride Night. Just a little bit gayer about it, I guess.
Okay. Make sure that you like and subscribe. We are at RBLR Sports on the YouTube. See our beautiful faces and super cool hats.
Yes.
I realize I didn't describe this for our audio only listeners. I apologize. It's like a rainbow metallic cowboy hat. It's got like striped colors and then a nice big sun logo on the front. It is adorable. I'm just saying. And then also follow us on RBLR Sun FC everywhere else so that you don't miss any updates. Eureka's really good about posting. He will probably post when we finally get eliminated so you can cry with us.
What's up? Eureka pointed out that we didn't do a score prediction for this game. My prediction for this game is that I'm going to have a great time at Pride Night. That's my official prediction.
Yeah, I'm with that.
We didn't talk about how I predicted the exact opposite score.
You did, yeah. Good. Thanks, by the way. Thanks.
Well, it's
for
not
that.
My fault. Superstition isn't real. We just played bad, and they scored 4 goals. That's just a fact of like how it worked out. Genuinely, at this point in the season, I don't care, Eureka. Okay, I don't care how we finish the game. it's going to be a 1-0 loss, unfortunately. Eureka's got a 2-0 loss. What do you have?
Yeah, lose? I'm debating between 1 or 2.
I think, and this is like crazy of me to say, mm-hmm. that our defenders are going to feel really bad and they're going to try extra hard. And so I think we're not going to be, and I think we're not going to let in multiple goals. But now that I've said that, it's going to be somehow worse, you know? So I don't know.
I'm going to have hope.
Ooh,
I'm gonna say nil-nil draw.
Ooh, I would take that.
Yeah,
I just hope the team based on have fun. Which I guess if they're having fun, then that's probably not a loss.
And yeah,
I would predict a loss, but I genuinely feel like we are gonna lose. So what am I supposed to do about it? Well, we will have fun at Pride Night.
Yes, we will.
It
will
win or lose,
it'll be a good time.
Win or lose, it's for the gays, okay?
It'll be a gay old time.
It's not about us, except it is a little bit about us, but it's not about us.
All right. I want to say that about wraps it up for this week. Thank you for listening. Again, remember, hit all the buttons. Also hit up shop.rblrsports.com. Use code HEATWAVE for 10% off. Lots of cool shirts for all the Tampa Bay sports there. Make sure you take a look. Eureka's very made some very cool designs.
Perfect.
All right.
See you on Saturday.
See you Saturday. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.